Welcome, welcome to another You Inside Under the Visor YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum, Parker Thune, Spencer Forsythe on the board. New athletic director, Roger Denny, officially met with the media today. We are going to discuss that. We are going to discuss, is there going to be another potential shakeup on the OU coaching staff? We're going to talk about that because that's kind of come out of nowhere over the last 24, 36 hours and gaining more steam that readily will admit Parker and I did not think was going to gain as much steam as it got. Plus, there's a lot of recruiting momentum for Oklahoma in 2027. A semi-junior day happening this weekend. We will discuss that and a lot more on this live. Plus, we're going to answer your Super Chat questions as always. So make sure you go into that Super Chat. Make sure it doesn't matter what it is. That's where you go to the top of the key. And we will be able to top of the queue, not the key. You can shoot from the top of the key if you want to, but you can go to the top of the queue. And we will get right to you as fast as possible because that's how we'll be able to see you with all the other chatter going around in the chat. Before we talk about all that, Parker, let us thank our sponsors.
Yeah, folks, Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor. Riverwind Casino has been the metro area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks also to Jana King, a proud partner of OU Athletics, and the greatest team to ever clean, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. You can check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janiking.com. That's janiking.com. A word from Prize Picks. Folks, the football season is wrapping up. College football's over. Only one game left in the NFL season. And there's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than on Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. And since the big game is right around the corner, that also means it's your last chance to get into the football action before next season. So close the season out right with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Find your community on Prize Picks with a new social feeds feature. You can share Prize Picks with your friends and copy lineups from winners with a single click. Copy lineups you like or just use them as inspiration for your own picks. You can even follow Prize Picks partners like us and tail or fade our picks with just one click. Prize Picks also now offers early payouts. So if your player gets off to a hot start, you now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. And finally, folks, a word from Mando Whole Body Deodorant. And if you're not familiar with Mando Whole Body Deodorant, well, here's what you need to know. It's safe to use anywhere on your body, clinically proven to block odor all day and control it for up to 72 hours, formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts, aluminum-free and ideal for hard-to-reach places. Whether you prefer the solid deodorant stick, the spray deodorant, the cream tube deodorant, there is a Mando product for you, folks. And so if you want to try America's number one whole body deodorant formula right now, you can find them in Walmart, Target, other retailers across the country, or for the best deals, you can go to shopmando.com. Some men mask their BO with scents. Mando men get the job done right. Don't mask it, Mando it. Available in retailers near you or head to shopmando.com because for a limited time, new customers are going to get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code INSIDER at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. All right, Brandon. Roger Denny.
Yeah. He is look, the new athletic director. You and Jesse were there. I will admit to everybody I did not go. My wife had a doctor's appointment that I had to be at today, so I was there, and from what I saw and everything that I witnessed from afar, he seems like a maverick of a hire. I'm not gonna lie, like he's got some power to him. He's got some oomph behind his words. Very, very, he's an assertive human being. I guess we can go there with that. And you can tell that he's not afraid of the challenge. And I think, if anything, you walk away from that as an Oklahoma fan, even a media member, and you go, okay, you see what Harrah's liked in him. You see what they were looking for. They said they had a pretty, prestigious list of candidates, and they solidified on him. And I got to give them props from just the little that we know about him so far. He seems very impressive. I don't know, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it's not the time or the place to be throwing around words like disruptor, innovator, visionary. Could he prove to be any and all of those things in the long run? Sure, but I'm not here to sell you on Roger Denny being the next great athletic director at the University of Oklahoma. If we're just judging off first impressions, though, if we're just judging off impressions of Roger Denny based on initial interactions with him earlier today, at his introductory ceremony, I like the guy, Brandon. I think he's going to be winsome for Oklahoma fans because he's got an intense personality. He's more of a quiet guy. He's not super ostentatious, not super vociferous, but he's a quiet, intense type of dude. Somewhat soft-spoken, but it's very, very clear. As it was with Joe Castiglione, albeit in a different sense, personality-wise, he's got that demeanor where you recognize, hey, he's here to get stuff done. And he's here to map out solutions and the path to those solutions. And when you heard Joseph Harrah's and Randall Stephenson talk about why they landed on Roger Denny as their next AD, it's pretty clear he aligns with where they believe the collegiate athletic space is going, and he fills a very specific need within the department. Is his role going to be exactly what Joe Castiglione's role was for years and years? Probably not. Randall Stephenson is shifting to a role not as chair of football, but as chair of athletics. So he's going to be involved in a very, very high-ranking advisory role to both Roger Denny and Joseph Harrah's. And meanwhile, you have a president in Harris who is heavily, heavily invested in I guess just the overall health of Oklahoma's athletic department. We know Harris is a football guy primarily, but he understands the value of athletics to the university, and it's always been something that has been a priority to him. So between him, Stevenson, and now Roger Denny at the top, I think you have a strong trio that's ready to lead Oklahoma into whatever the future may hold for the landscape of college athletics. It is ever changing. You need somebody that's going to be able to react and adapt in real time. And as Harris pointed out in his statement, not only do you want somebody that's going to be able to help OU navigate, but you want somebody that's going to be able to continue to keep Oklahoma a step ahead of the rest of the country. He said, our goal is not to navigate, our goal is to maintain a competitive edge on every other athletic department in the country. And for Denny, a couple of things he mentioned right off the rip was he thinks, as far as competing for championships in the sport of football, as far as reestablishing Oklahoma as a perennial contender in the most important sport at the University of Oklahoma, the first key hire, I mean, the first key point in that regard is bringing in Jim Nagy, or was bringing in Jim Nagy, I should say, which Nagy precedes Roger Denny by almost a year, but it was something he highlighted. Hey, look, we have a structure that is unlike a structure that exists anywhere else in college football. Bringing in Jim Nagy was a signal that, hey, we're going to operate differently. We're going to try to maintain this competitive edge. We're going to try to stay a step ahead of the crowd, and we're going to be forward thinking in our approach. And he said, hopefully, I'm the second big hire that serves that purpose for Oklahoma as far as football is concerned. But he also said, hey, we got to figure out what the house settlement means and what the implications are there for our athletic department moving forward. That's the priority. It's just making sure that whatever the next 5, 10 years look like in college athletics, that we're positioned in such a way that We're not biased by anything that gets thrown our direction or any developments that unfold as a result of the House settlement.
I thought the interesting, and maybe I misunderstood this. He is very, very fluent in collective bargainings and, equity and, all of that type of jargon that, we're probably pretty naive when it comes to all that type of stuff. Well, I am. So, but I thought it was interesting when, he talked about it and he said, collective bargaining is not as easy as people think. And it's like a 3 to 5 year deal. Like, you would hope that would be sooner than that, but you got to trust that he understands the landscape of that type of situation in college football. And I'm assuming that probably goes hand in hand with the House settlement that everybody's been talking about and all of that. The fact that he has been involved in, and he said he left his job, that he has cushed and he was moving up fast and all that, but he said there was something left to be desired still in what he was trying to accomplish. And he said the second he got to Illinois, that it just kind of everything became okay, this is what I was called to do type of deal for him. So, and then naturally that was what, 2021, right? That took place. I thought it was interesting that he has only been involved in college athletics with NIL. So like that's all he knows. The ever-changing world of college athletics, not the world of college athletics that we all have been accustomed to, where it has been you go to a school, you're there for 4 or 5 years, and then you go off and you either join hashtag workforce or you go to the NFL. And he doesn't know that. He knows contracts. He understands all of that. I was actually shocked that nobody asked him about his thoughts on the Miami Duke situation. And the fact that contracts with his background in it, I guess non-existent anymore, like contracts null and void. I'm sure you saw the report.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a settlement there, right, where Duke got
Yeah, but
compensation for Mensa breaking the contract
for
with him, right?
sure. But I'm talking about where I can't remember if it was 24/7 or whoever that wrote the article, and there was a Power Four GM publicly stating like contracts are nothing now because people can just get out of them. And that was the quote, man. I'm just quoting the tweet. I'm quoting the tweet. You can go back and look at it. That was like, they essentially said contracts are meaningless at this point
Yeah, well, I
because of
mean,
that.
look, I found it refreshing the way that the Mensa situation unfolded,
Yeah.
because I think it demonstrated exactly the opposite. No, contracts do mean something if they are written and enforced correctly. Because if Darian Mensa had just been able to go to Miami and Duke had not received quote unquote damages, if they had not been compensated for
Yeah.
Mensa breaking the contract, then that would have signaled a very significant issue across the sport.
I will
But
say that,
Duke was ready to fight that thing, man. They were
yeah.
ready to contest it. They had the lawyers at the ready, and there was able they were able to arrive at an outcome that was and no doubt not ideal. I mean, I'm sure Duke would have preferred to have Mensa as their quarterback in 2026, but an outcome that was favorable, palatable for both parties.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive that the article was written before all that took place, as far as the compensation and the settlement, all that type of stuff. But I think the GM was more or less talking about because so many times contracts aren't being fully acknowledged, and nobody has been pushing the issue. This is the first time publicly that I believe we've seen a program fight over losing out on a contract, something that they agreed upon. Can you remember another one outside of Darian Mensah? I can't. But we know that there's been contracts broken. Like, we know. We've seen
Oh,
it.
yeah, of course. I mean,
I
Damond
mean,
Williams, that was almost a whole thing
oh gosh.
before
Yeah.
the Darian Mensah situation.
Yeah, I mean, it just I would have just loved his thoughts on that. Just how do you go about combating that and keeping that from happening over and over and over? I would have loved his thoughts on Dabo Swinney going public and literally calling out by name the people that were tampering with his program.
Yeah.
I because I think him being in that world, understanding the legal aspect of it, almost from a compliant aspect, right? Because I think that's where he's probably going to be pretty strong at. And I know you fans, they hear that, and it's like nails on a chalkboard, the word compliance. So, but I'd have just loved his take on that. Like that, those are the questions that I were in my head that if I would have been there, I would have asked a little bit about just his understanding of that. Because that's his world. You know what I mean? Like that is his world and what he understands. So, but overall, like you said, his job is to stay ahead of the game. And I think Oklahoma, you know, there's been times they've been pretty far ahead of the game. I think the general manager aspect for Oklahoma and Jim Nagy, I think the way they're going about it, I think they are a visionary in college football from that aspect. Because I know you've talked to people, I've talked to people from other programs that they see that's where college is headed. And Oklahoma got the jump on it. And so that's kind of his job now, right? Is to continue to stay two or three steps ahead of where college football is headed, where college athletics in general is headed. Obviously, continue to help Oklahoma in the NIL, the marketing aspect, everything that a athletic director has to be involved with. And I think, as great as Joe C has been over the years, I think Joe C realized, and I think we've heard him talk about it, that that's not his forte, is the NIL, like, because he didn't grow up in it. So he's had to learn on the fly where this guy comes in and he knows it. This is what he knows. This is what he does. So I think overall, that's just a great hire. Jay Vly, do we have, by the way, do we have any super chats?
We do not have any super chats yet. Folks, if you're interacting with us, I should say, via the YouTube chat. If you're interacting with us via the YouTube chat and you want to make sure that your question gets answered throughout the stream, send it to us in super chat form. You can attach a donation of any amount. Doesn't much matter to us. Can be 99 cents if you just want to send us 99 cents. But that is how your question slash comment slash opinion gets bumped to the top of the queue. But yes, Jay Vilay.
Yeah, look, it's well documented publicly. We talked about it on OU Insider, and look, we got names, all that type of stuff that maybe you want to watch for, if it gets to that point. And right now, I'm not. So, I will
It
say
is. It is worth noting that we kind of do this every year with Jay Vilay, don't we?
that
Like,
that's that, well, that's what I was about to
there's a
talk about.
rumor, circa January, February, there's always a rumor about Jay Vilay potentially going somewhere else. It hasn't happened yet. That doesn't mean it won't happen this time around, but it's appointment television in a sense, something you've come to expect. The rumors about Jay Vilay and another program.
It's almost like, you know, the Red River rivalries, the second Saturday in October every year, the third weekend in January when the Board of Regents start to kick off their February, late January, early February, early Board of Regents meetings where they start to, you know, contracts and everything come up to debate. Yeah. Jay Vilay seems to come have be a topic of a conversation on the national stage annually. And that's not, look, that's smart. It's genius. He just had a child. If I'm him, I start to push for a raise as well to help fund a baby. Got a 2-year-old. I would love to be funded a little bit more to help doing that. So they're pretty expensive these days. Very expensive, actually. Children in general. You'll learn one these days, Parker. They're super, super expensive. I just, this time, I will say this. Normally, there's not, it's just buzz and hearsay and all that type of stuff. There are reporters on the Notre Dame side that seem to feel like this thing is trending towards him leaving. I'm not there. And there are people that we have talked to, and maybe they're wrong, that feel like this is, you hate to use the word posturing, but it's posturing. Like, that's what it is. That is the singular word for it, posturing. And if he does leave, and again, that's an if right now, the names that we have kind of feel like, this is just our opinion, feel might be involved there. Not bad. Not bad at all. I actually think two of them would be a home run. Agree, Parker? If you go to OU Insider, you'll know. Like, but like it they would be home runs.
Well, and let's be honest here. Brent Venables has attained
Tracks.
a certain level of status where he can make a marquee hire for a position like cornerbacks coach.
Correct. He.
I mean, consider this. Oklahoma just made the marquee hire for the tight end coaching position. And that's the opposite side of the ball from which Brent Venables coaches.
Yeah. I mean, could you? I don't want to give everything away, but I. If they were to hire one of those two, that the names that we threw, one of the three, I mean, there's three that we've thrown out there. The third, I think, is a really good hire. I just don't know that fans will view it as a home run hire just because of experience. The other two, they swing a big stick when it comes to names as far as defensive back coaching goes. So, that said, if they could pull off one of those two, and again, this is an if at this point, because Jay Vlai is still the cornerbacks coach at the University of, and the co-DC at University of Oklahoma. And I don't know that as an OU fan, you want to lose him, because what he does at a cheetah nickel position, he's known nationally for how well he coaches those positions as far as coverage and all that. Like, he's like the guy. And that's why he was hired, because he was the guy for that cheetah spot. So, and to go along with his cornerback acumen, but specifically that cheetah spot. So, it's going to be interesting, something we're watching, covering very, very thoroughly on OU Insider. So, just a heads up. I know we have a super chat I just saw, and it's something we brought up earlier. Want to know, and it's Matthew Maggard. Appreciate J4H. Appreciate the super chat, man. What are your thoughts? What are you guys' thoughts on the whole Clemson tampering situation? Parker, I'll let you go first, because I have an interesting take on this.
You have an interesting take.
I don't think it's like, when I say interesting take, I don't think it's like groundbreaking or anything. I
I
just.
mean, I don't want to blindly assume that everything Dabo Swinney said up there into a microphone is true. But if it is, I hope Pete Golding gets slapped on the wrist. I hope Ole Miss gets slapped on the wrist for it. Because, like, if you're gonna tamper with a kid. At least play by the rules. At least exploit the very obvious loopholes that are there. Go through the agent. It's blatantly illegal. Blatantly illegal to be contacting a kid directly when he is signed with and enrolled at another institution. If that's actually what was happening, Pete Golding and Ole Miss deserve retribution from the NCAA because that's just dumb. You don't need to do that. If you want the kid, go through his agent. Tamper him into the point. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. There's really no escaping it. But if you're going to be that stupid, I hope you get caught. Now, again, that is if in fact everything Dabo Swinney said was true. There's a different account of it. We haven't heard it yet. I mean, Pete Golding, neither Pete Golding nor anyone at Ole Miss has issued a response to what Dabo Swinney has put out there. So.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just you can't really get away from tampering. You can't escape it. And I think in response to some of Dabo's comments where he encouraged other coaches across the country to call it out when it's happening, I don't know that that's going to happen because Dabo Swinney might be the only coach left in the P4 that isn't actively doing tampering on like on his own account. All of these coaches tamper with each other's players.
Yeah.
One big cycle. Everybody's stealing everybody's players. Dabo Swinney might be, and Clemson might be the lone exception where they are, will be susceptible to players getting stolen from them, but they're not going to return fire. Everybody else will return fire and does.
So my point was, is kind of, it's twofold here. One, what you're talking about is exactly what Brent Venables was like when he first got to Oklahoma, but he was tired of getting crapped on and said, okay, cool. Like it's a rule, but it's not a rule if you go through the agents. It's not a rule if you go through like it's just not. And I don't even think Dabo wants to dabble in that world. And I think that's going to be his downfall. I'm just going to call it like it is. That's probably going to be his downfall in college football is. And I have to say, I respect him because he's not shifting from his moral compass of what he views his moral compass is. And a moral compass is personal, right? I think it's how you view your world. And that's how he views his world. And his world is that Clemson football program. And if he goes down with a ship, I think he's going to be okay with that because he won two national titles and played for a couple others. I think he knows he can win. And could honestly, I think Clemson could be a big dog too if they played the game the way everybody else has. You know, and some people might point back to the Spring Hill Baptist Church stuff back in the days and all that stuff. And those were always rumors. Maybe Dabo didn't know about those. I don't know. I don't know. But he had timestamps, Parker. Like I find it hard not to believe everything that he said. He had
I know.
literal
Listen, Dabo,
timestamps.
we know how strong of a moral compass Dabo has. I am
Yeah.
98% certain that everything he said was true.
Yeah.
And
Like,
that's probably why we haven't gotten a response from Pete Golding and Ole Miss, because how are you going to dispute the truth?
so, and my point on that is if the NCAA is actually going to, if they're actually going to grow a pair and do something, which we know they're not, you know what the punishment should be? How much did you offer that person in tampering illegally? Not going through the agent, but illegally talking to them. You said 2 million. Cool. We're going to take 2 million away from your profit sharing. That's what they should do. And that's my interesting take on it. Is you want to stop it from coach to player tampering and not coach agent player tampering? Like that's completely different as weird as it is because you have the middleman of the agent. You just discipline them and take away however much money is said to be in those text messages or in those offers and the tampering. That's how much you take away from the next cycle's profit sharing. People will stop doing it. I promise you that, because it's already a tight. People are they're the complaints right now, Parker, is that it's not enough because the players are asking so much. So they're saying, well, our profit sharing isn't enough. NCAA, you're not giving us enough as far as our profit sharing. I think it's what, $22, $23 million this year, something, 22 and a half, 24, 24 and a half, something to that extent this year. It went up quite a bit, but it's still not enough. And you'll see programs like Georgia, you know, Oklahoma, Ohio State, USC, Texas, Indiana, you got to say them now. Those programs, the LSU, Texas A&M, all those programs that win and win a lot, they're not confiding in that 24 and a half, but whatever it is, 22 and a half, 24 and a half million dollars of profit share, whatever it is, they're not doing that. They're exceeding or getting close to $30 million because they're going through the collectives and they're going through third party NIL and all sorts of stuff, donor supplanted NIL, all that type of stuff is being taken in effect as well. So Oklahoma was close to $30 million last year. It was something between, I think it was between $25 and $30 million last year was their roster. I was told they may be going over 30 at this point this season. So that ought to tell you guys how expensive it's getting. Just a roster of football program right now. And the profit share is covering 75% of it. But then what if you're OU basketball and you're the second lowest in profit share in NIL because football is getting a whole lot? You've got to figure out a way to combat that with third party and donor NIL. And of course, that's what Porter Moser's running into, Parker. Like, those are the issues he's running into. He's had a really good roster. They're just not winning. But that's neither here nor there. But that's my take on the Clemson, and that's Parker's takes on the Clemson thing. Do we have another super chat?
I do not believe so.
Okay, cool. Recruiting. There's been a lot of buzz about Jaden Scott here recently. Obviously, he's getting some RPMs or crystal balls, whatever you guys want to call it, to Oklahoma. Just Parker had a really good interview with him the other day, and then I can come back on the other side and confirm that OU feels really, really, really good about him right now. If I was going to say, Parker, and you can answer this because you and I had the conversation, the other safety right now, who would you pick? Because I think a lot of people would say Samaj Stanford, and I don't think you and I are going to go there at this juncture.
I mean, Samaj Stanford is an awesome football player.
He's awesome.
And if he's not a Sooner, that's going to sting a little bit, especially with him being from within state lines. You know, you think about some of the 918 defensive backs that got away over the years, Dax Hill, Josh Proctor back in the 2018 class. He's somebody that wherever he goes, he's going to have a ton of success and have more than a shot at the NFL one day. But there's a kid out there in Utah that Oklahoma has been pursuing for quite a while now, and it's been pedal to the metal after this kid, and he is exceptional. Right? And I'm not sure how many people have really sat down and studied the tape on this kid, but once you do, I think pretty immediately you're going to be blown away by what is there on tape. And I'm referring to Brody Sparrow, or Bodie Sparrow, excuse me,
Bodie Sparrow, yeah.
four star athlete out of Kaysville, Utah. And Bodie Sparrow, I'm going to make this comp, Brandon. He reminds me a lot of a slightly bigger bodied version of another kid that came out of the state of Utah a year ago in Selesi Moa. Who wound up signing with Utah initially, then entered the transfer portal pretty immediately once Kyle Whittingham took off from Michigan, and he will be a Wolverine. Oklahoma will see him this fall when they go up to the Big House. But Selesi Moa was a prospect I absolutely loved and was drinking the five-star Kool-Aid with that kid as early as maybe February or March last year. And he did ultimately attain five-star status, just got the fifth star, according to Rivals, earlier this week. But what made that kid so special is not only was he an exceptionally fluid mover, ton of speed, ton of agility, great acceleration, all of the movement skills were there certainly, but what set him apart was the level of instinct and the level of aggressiveness with which he played. And he is a guy, I'm not really sure what the vision for him is at Michigan. I think he's going to play receiver up there, but he could be a future NFL player at defensive back or at wide receiver. He is equally good on both sides of the ball, is Selesi Moa. And when you watch Bodie Sparrow on tape, it is the exact same thing, Brandon. He is a five-star caliber safety prospect, and he is a five-star caliber wide receiver prospect. Rivals lists him as an athlete because I think there's an acknowledgement there. Okay, you can't really go wrong with this kid, regardless of whether he wants to play offense or wants to play defense. He's going to be a stud at the next level no matter where he plays. Oklahoma likes him at safety. And this, to me, Brandon, could wind up being Oklahoma's biggest win of the entire 2027 cycle that is somewhat out of left field because you expect Oklahoma to land a guy like Cooper Hackett that's in their backyard. You expect Oklahoma to land a guy like Caden Penny that's in their backyard. You know, you expect that Oklahoma will eventually add a guy like Case Alexander who's right down the road to the fold. You don't necessarily expect that Oklahoma is going to go out to the state of Utah and beat out all comers for one of the top two-way prospects in recent memory across the college football recruiting realm. Could they pull it off with Bode Sparrow? He released a top 10 today. Oklahoma is one of 10 right now, and that's it. So don't want to oversell the Sooners' chances at this point. It's still January, but I think both you and I feel pretty good about Oklahoma's odds to secure an OV with Bode Sparrow, and the relationship that's there with Crew Jones as well is going to play in OU's favor long-term as well.
Yeah, so for me, he's a top 100 player in the country. Oklahoma, Brandon Hall has done just a bang-up job recruiting, you know, Bode Sparrow. He is, like you said, he's a big body, going to take your head off, come downhill, freak of an athlete, and twitchy. I think you look at the safety room, and you and I'm going to say it right here for everybody, I think they end up taking three. I just don't know that Samaj Stanford, because there's only so much money to go around. If you're going to pay for Jalen Scott and you know, Bode Sparrow, I here's the thing. Those guys
it's
are
Bode, by the way.
Bode Sparrow. I keep calling him Bode all the time, but Bode Sparrow. So here's the thing is like you're going to have two top 200 kids, top 300 kids in the country as safety. I don't see OU going for a third. I just don't, because of how much money it's going to cost. Now, I do think they take three. And I think the third hasn't even been offered yet. So I'm going to leave it at that. You may see an offer go out here in the next 24, 48 hours. And you may be like, oh, that's who Drum was talking about, who I would be predicting if I was on there. So, but it's going to get interesting, and maybe I don't want to say that because I about said something that probably would have given away who the offer is going to go to. So I was just like, I just saw stuff right there. So, but long story short is I think they take three. I do. I think they take three. I feel pretty good about Bode Sparrow. I feel pretty good about Jalen Scott. I think everybody does right now. Look, OU's in a good spot with Samaj Stanford. It's just going to be, is Georgia, is Oregon, is Ohio State, Alabama, like all these other programs that are coming in there, USC, Texas, Texas A&M, like everybody. There's a horde of programs pushing for him right now. I would say Georgia and Oregon are the two programs that you look at and you're like, ah, they might be a big problem for Oklahoma right now, because they are. They're a big problem for Oklahoma. I same would go for Gabriel Osborne. I think Texas, I think Ohio State, I think Texas, Ohio State, Georgia are programs that you look at for Gabriel Osborne Jr. And it's like, okay, what's going on there? Now, I do expect a top 10 to drop from him in the next, I'll just give it a week. Week, 10 days, something like that. And it'll probably be sooner. But I know he's trying to narrow some things down. I know there has been a lot of people, including myself, believe that OU was just a clear and away leader. I think there's been some ground made up with Texas, Georgia, Oregon, like all these programs are making up ground with him right now. OU is still who I would predict just because he's an Oklahoma kid. I do believe Oklahoma might end up offering the most when it's all said and done. Oklahoma badly wants Gabriel Osborne Jr. I mean, badly wants Gabriel Osborne Jr. It's going to be interesting to see if the Jay Belai thing comes to fruition, if that has any sort of bearing on his recruiting. And I think that would be something that Oklahoma would probably remedy pretty quickly. But it's not ideal, Parker, in that situation when you're trying to close in. How many five stars? Like they've got, I know I've asked you this before, but has your mind changed? There's essentially three, that we think of right now because Cooper Hackett's committed to Oklahoma. Caden Penny's in the five star category right now as far as his ranking goes. He just hasn't been given his fifth star.
Yeah.
And then, Cooper Whitten is who most people think he's going to choose Oklahoma, but the fact that he still hasn't is interesting, but I think he's going to take his time and do what he wants to do as far as recruiting goes. And that's his right. How many do you think is, do you just believe three, or do you think there's maybe four or five in there as
Five
far as
stars, you mean?
yeah.
Man, I would say,
Because I think Crew Jones could end up being one down the road. I think Bodie Sparrow could too. Like,
yeah, I mean, Bodie comes to mind as a potential five-star guy, as does Gabe Osborne. You already have Hackett and Penny that are squarely in that conversation. And then, of course, Cooper Whitten is already a five-star. Like, there's a world in which you're talking four or five. I don't know that it all shakes out that way whenever the final rankings are issued for the class of 2027, but I think you can count on Oklahoma signing five top 100 players in the nation.
Well, I think
I
that's
think that's a
easy.
perfectly fair expectation.
I may be outlandish here. I think they could sign seven or eight. But I mean, look, we just named so many guys that we assume, like Bodie Sparrow is already top 100. Cooper Hackett, Caden Penny. What, Parker, there's another we didn't even the tight end.
Oh man. Yep.
Top 100, like that,
Yep.
there's seven right there that we think Oklahoma's in a fantastic spot for or has commitments for, right there, seven or eight actually.
It's kind of crazy that we lose track of all of the top 100 guys that Oklahoma's in play for.
I
It's a
about
far
seen.
cry from where Oklahoma has been the last couple of years. Not that they've been recruiting poorly by any means,
No.
but the top end of this 2027 class is going to blow away, just in terms of depth,
Yeah.
the top end of the 26 and 25 classes. 24 was pretty good.
So I sent you that the other day. I sent you a text message the other day, and I think it was 22, 23 ESPN 300 that Oklahoma was either in a good spot or leaving. Like Juju Johnson didn't even talk about him.
Yep.
I mean, like, I went through the list. George Toya, who I think Oklahoma is quietly just creeping on up more and more and more.
Is there room?
You make room for that. You're out of your mind. What?
Well, I'm not talking about scholarship room.
Oh, I
I'm
know
talking about
money.
financial room.
I don't know.
Devin Robertson, Elijah Harmon, potentially Zane Rowe.
Another
Those are
top
three
100
defensive
guy.
tackles that aren't cheap.
That's just like it's like the 27 class could get absurd, and this I think it, like people are like, I equate it to college football 26 type recruiting when you're like on like a heater, and you keep getting those five stars on there. It feels like that's where Oklahoma is at right now. Fair or unfair, the expectation for this class is outlandish. And it doesn't matter. You can say we're hyperbole, but you can go across the board. Sam Spiegelman's talking about this class being potentially absurd. Steve Wiltfong, Chad Simmons, like everybody's talking about OU's 27 class being absurd.
Nuts.
Nuts. And so it's not just OU insider homers. This is widely thought of across the landscape of recruiting right now that Oklahoma could end up with a quite special class. And it won't be just them. Like there's like five teams that everybody looks at right now, and they're like, they might just have most of, if not all, the top 50 to 100 kids. And it's insane. And it welcome to NIL world. Whoever
Couple of
wants to
super chats here.
go for
Mark
it.
asked, any word on Heinicke or when we can expect word? Going to give you the same answer we've been giving you for weeks now.
Don't hold your
No
breath.
idea. We're dealing with the NCAA. The NCAA does its own thing. There's really no, there's no way of knowing when we're going to get a resolution there. Daryl Revels tosses $5 and asked, once Porter is relieved of his duties, who should OU target? Yeah, it wasn't really hard to read the tea leaves there this morning at Roger Denny's introductory ceremony because he shouted out a number of the coaches that he was eager to work with, like ready to help push their programs toward championship contention. He mentioned Brent Venables by name. He mentioned Jenny Baranchek by name, mentioned Mark Williams and KJ Kindler and Patty Gasso and Skip Johnson. No mention of Porter Moser.
Do they have
And
a like a knowledge of each other just from his time?
Denny said he met Porter Moser for the first time this morning.
Okay. I
And he
missed
gave a
that.
very politically correct answer when asked about the situation with the men's basketball program. But I thought it was also pretty telling that Porter Moser was one of the very first people to leave that room and leave that building when the ceremony ended. If he wasn't the absolute first person on the elevator out of there, he was one of the first.
That's really interesting. I feel bad for him because I was talking to some people within the athletic department just the other day, and they're like, everybody loves Porter, like as a person. That's the weird part about it. Like,
Oh, it's nothing weird about it at all. Like, how can you not love Porter? You wish good things for good people, which makes this hard, right? You don't want to see, well, okay. Yeah, I shouldn't phrase it that way. You wish this thing would have worked for Porter and OU. You really wish that it would have worked. But at a certain point, you have to look at it from the results standpoint. This is a results-based business. Athletics is a results-based business, and the results have not been good enough. And we continue to watch the OU basketball program lose games in an incredibly, remarkably formulaic fashion. That loss to Arkansas last night followed the script to a T. We've watched that exact same game probably two dozen times in the last five seasons.
I want, and this is like all joking aside, like we have like this OU insider chat, and like all of us are going, okay, when is this lead getting blown? Like we're predicting how long does this lead last and how do they lose? And
It happens.
within the last 2 minutes of the game, they can't seem to make the plays that they need to make to win the ball game. And I said this the other day, and I thought it was interesting. A couple of the responses, or Jesse's response was really interesting, but my response was, is it Porter is so wound tight that in tight ball games, does that rub off on his players to where they start playing a little bit more tense than normally they would? Because look, Brown doesn't miss free throws ever until it gets into clutch time. And then he misses. Now that could be clutch gene just may not be there. Or it could be, dude, my coach is wound tight. We just walked out of that huddle and I'm more nervous than I was walking into it. Does that make sense? Like, it just, he's so well tied. And he's such a, you can see like when he paces the sideline, like something bad happens, the players look over there, and every now and then they look shocked when he's like, okay, it's okay, it's okay. Because normally he's over there blowing up or yelling at somebody. So it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know how to read him sometimes. And I'm sure the players feel the same way. And they see him every day. We just see him on television. So I feel bad. So, but to answer the question, like, who does OU go after? I think it's pretty obvious who you go after. Your top two choices, without fail, should be Kellen Sampson or Hollis Price. Those should be your top two. Now, can you convince them? Because the NIL discrepancy between what Houston gets and OU gets, even before advertisers, even before corporate, is huge. Like 3+ million huge. So there's that. That's something that you would have to convince. And the sad part is prior to Porter Moser taking the job, Parker, those two would have taken this job in a heartbeat because they wanted it so very badly. And I think they want it now. It's just, I think there's some finagling, some fine tuning of that program that need to be taken, that needs to be done on the NIL side for anybody to want to take on that job, because you can win. We've seen it. Like, you can win, big at OU as far as basketball goes. But the buy-in has to be there, and I just don't think the buy-in's there right now. And that's the sad part. But let me ask you, do you think if they did hire Kellen Sampson or Hollis Price, the buy-in would be significantly more just because their blood, past history, the ambiance of it all?
I guess.
Yeah, I
I
know.
mean,
See?
I here's the thing. I think regardless of who the next head coach is, I think the next 5 to 10 years for the OU men's basketball program and the success that they experience over that span of time is going to be largely dictated by how much Roger Denny and Randall Stephenson want to prioritize the hoops program. If those guys want to make it an emphasis, if those guys decide, hey, we want to compete at the highest level in the Southeastern Conference and across the nation in the sport of men's basketball, and we're going to take meaningful steps in that direction, then I think I'm not necessarily saying that looks like spending $20 million for a roster, but if it looks like spending 12, 13, getting things moving finally on that University North Park District to get the Sooners a new arena. I know people will have mixed feelings on that, but it's hard to recruit to the Lloyd Noble Center right now. It is. The
Yeah.
Lloyd Noble Center is not an asset when it comes to recruiting for the OU basketball program. So if those guys at the top choose to invest in OU basketball as opposed to just kind of letting it exist over there, then I think OU can become very competitive very quickly. And, Denny remarked on that earlier today. He said, gone are the days where you just hire a good coach and build good facilities and you can expect to field a winner. That's not the case anymore. And
Yeah.
so it takes a different recipe than it once took. And I think in Stephenson and Denny, you have two guys that are fully capable jointly of identifying what that recipe is and piecing together the requisite ingredients to build a winner.
You would think him coming from Illinois that basketball would be somewhat of a priority to him.
Well, he helped hire Brad Underwood.
Yeah.
It was his firm that helped hire Brad Underwood.
So there you go. So I just maybe, and that would be interesting if that was the move. But I Would he steal from the university that gave him his shot? I don't know that that would be. And would Brad Underwood want to come back to the state of Oklahoma is the other question, but that's neither here nor there. So, anyways, all right. Hey, that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. If you're not subscribed to this YouTube or our podcasting platform, subscribe, 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 hit like, hit 5 stars, hit the hype button, which is the new thing here on YouTube, helps us get the analytics, all that type of stuff. The more you subscribe, the more we can bring you content. The more we have sponsors to help bring content, the more we have sponsors to help us travel to go see recruits, go see all sorts of stuff, camps, everything that we need to help continue to bring you guys the content that we bring you already and more. So thank you guys so much for everything you do. Also, go to OUinsider.com, type that into your URL code. You can join now for $1. $1 gets you through the door. It's easy to cancel if you want to cancel, but we think you'll like it. There's a lot going on right now as far as recruiting goes, information, all sorts of stuff. We got a VIP chat. I'm dropping some intel here in the morning that I think a lot of you guys will like. Some deep diving into several other positions that we didn't talk about on here, plus a potential of me doing I guess a class prediction for January is what I'm kind of going for. So we'll see how all that works out. I'm trying to get that done before at least Saturday. So yeah, that's going to do it for this version. For Parker Thune, for Spencer Force under the board, thank you guys for watching the OU Insider Under the Visor YouTube Live powered by Riverwind Casino. You guys have a blessed day.